Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Coming up next is one of the shows that our compatriots in Lexington, Kentucky have put together for us. Art Lex presents a lost show from the old-time radio series Retribution. It's called Accidents Happen. Just when you think you've covered your tracks and are safe, there's retribution.
Retribution. Retribution. Unavoidable. Inevitable. Yet there are always some who invite its tragic call. Do you? The patterns of human conduct are regulated to some measure by the manner in which men challenge temptation. Few of us there are indeed who have not at some time entertained a thought of crime. Fortunately, the strong of will are in the majority, but there are many who yield, and for them, retribution. Retribution. That entity which guarantees payment in kind for all who tread the paths of waywardness, who think they fool the gods of destiny, who plunge blindly into transgression. The road looks smooth, the way easy, the reward handsome, success assured. Then sudden retribution. Evil, the consuming spark that fires man's imagination, twists the human mind and sends it hurtling through space into the shadows of crime. Evil, flaring brightly, blinding man to reasoning, a flaming ball of fire that burns away the core of decency. Ruin, yes, evil, the force that laughs at law and order, that warms the hearts of men who have no hearts. Look then upon a friend to evil, a man called Sam Cray. Sam Cray was evil. His every thought, his every deed, rebelled against the creeds of decent men. His was a life of murder and violence.
Ah! I've got the stuff! Come on!
Let's get out of here! Nobody move!
Shut up and stay where you are!
Brave, aren't you? With guns?
Oh, yeah? Come here, you!
What do you want?
Shut up and listen! All of you! You! You're so smart, you can come with us!
No! No!
Anybody makes one move until we get away, and we'll shoot this dame.
Please let me go. Please.
Shut up. Come on.
Nice going, kid. Here, slip the stuff into your bag. You know where to meet me.
Okay.
Come on.
Scream as we pull away. Working great. Betty looks scared to death.
Yeah, she's just an innocent bystander. They'll never search her.
Turn right around this corner. My car's there. Shouldn't be any trouble. The cops will be looking for two guys now.
Splitting up is a good idea.
We'll have to give Betty at least half an hour to get away. Meet you at your place in an hour.
It worked, darling. The police never bothered me.
Good. Give me the stuff.
Here it is. Isn't Jack here yet?
Jack won't be here. I told him we'd meet him at his place.
What? Why did you do that?
Look, this stuff is worth 50 grand to us. Do you realize that? 50 grand. With that kind of haul, we're set. The two of us go to another part of the country, change our names, and our worries are over.
The two of us? What about Jack?
Forget about Jack.
Car 34, calling car 34. Pick up Jack Carlton at 410 Evergreen. Wanted for jewel robbery.
Now that's us. Let's go. This is it. 410. Try the door.
It's open.
Let's go in. Quiet.
That you, Sam? What kept you so long?
Cops.
Okay, Carlton, don't reach for anything.
Not me, coppers. You got nothing on me. What do you want?
We'll see about that. Frisk him, Joe.
Here's his gun.
Just been fired a couple of times.
Yeah, I was shooting at tin cans in back.
Must have been a lot of jewels in those tin cans. Come on, Carlton. We're going to headquarters. Come on, Carlton. Why don't you spill it? What'd you do with the jewels?
I don't know what you're talking about, copper. You got nothing on me.
No, we'll see. Will you come in here, please?
What are you trying to pull?
This is the manager of the jewelry store. Have you ever seen this man before?
Yes, I have. He was one of the two men who held up my shop today.
Better start talking, Carlton. Where are the jewels? Who was the guy with you?
You're getting nothing out of me, copper. Say, how did you pick me up so easy?
No, we got a tip. A guy called and gave us your number.
A guy called, huh? I know who it was, the dirty double-crosser.
Tell us who was with you on the job. It'll go easier for you.
I said you're getting nothing out of me. I know who turned me in. I'll take care of him myself. Later.
Yes, Sam Cray took very good care of his partner Jack Carlton. Callously, without regret, he sent the police to apprehend Jack while he paid a call on a fence and then fled the city with $50,000.
What are we going to do now?
California is a nice big place. We can get lost there. From now on, we're Mr. and Mrs. Sam Telford.
A new life, a new identity, and Mr. and Mrs. Sam Telford settled down. With $50,000, it was easy to settle down. To move from the shadows of crime? Yes, with $50,000, Sam Cray, now known as Sam Telford, became a respectable businessman.
Well, honey, we're on our way. Took practically all of our dough, but it's worth it.
What's worth it?
You're looking at the new owner of Acme Electrical Appliances. I'm a solid citizen now, baby. Watch me roll.
Sam did roll along. The shrewd, double-crossing mind that sent his partner Jack Carlton to the penitentiary soon mastered the intricacies of the business world and the local social world. Inside of a year, Sam and Betty were members of the exclusive country clubs. In 3 years, Sam's business, now known as Telford Electrical Appliances, moved to new, larger quarters. And in 5 years...
Hello, honey. I've got some good news for you.
What is it, Sam?
You might take a look on page 3 in today's paper. There's a picture of the new chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. Guess who it is?
Darling, you made it. That's wonderful.
It's only the beginning, honey. Before I get through, I'll be mayor of this town.
I hope so, if you want it. I don't care what you are as long as we're together.
That's my girl. Be home in a couple of hours. We'll celebrate. Yes?
Mr. Harris has interviewed a couple of new men. Can you see them now?
Yes. Send them in, one at a time.
You go in first, please. Anything else, Mr. Telford?
No. Sit down. I'll be right with you, Mr. Jack Carlton.
Jack Carlton, Sam's former partner in crime, the man he had double-crossed and sent to prison. Sam felt his newfound world of respectability crashing about his ears. Here was the one man who knew his true identity. How had he traced him?
It's been a long time. Sam Cray.
Not so loud. Wait a minute.
Yes, Mr. Telford?
I won't be able to see anyone else today. Make sure I'm not disturbed. It's good to see you, Jack.
Yeah, only you're about 5 years late.
Well, you see, the day we were supposed to meet, we came by with the money and saw the police at your place. We knew we were hot and had to blow town.
Never expected to see me again, huh?
I read where you were sent up, but we couldn't get in touch with you. We knew they'd check on everybody that tried to contact you. There wasn't anything we could do. You see that, don't you?
I guess I do now. When I first went up, I was plenty sore because you never tried to get in touch with me. But now, well, I realize you couldn't very well.
Sure. That's the only way to feel about it. After all, it wouldn't have done any good if we all went up and lost the stuff. We sure were surprised that the cops picked you up so quick.
The cops told me they got a tip.
They did? Well, then, somebody must have recognized you.
That's possible. Things like that always straighten themselves out. Yes, I straighten myself out on a lot of things.
What do you mean?
Funny things happen to a guy in stir. You get a lot of time to think.
About what?
Everything. For the first couple of years, I was sore. After that, I didn't care.
Didn't care?
No. After sitting in that cell for 5 years, I made up my mind to one thing. I'm never going back there. I'm through with the old life.
I'm glad to hear you say that. That's the right attitude. I'm sure glad you found me.
Yeah. I almost fell over when I saw you. How long has your name been Telford?
About 5 years. You see, I felt the same way you did about it. I was sick of the old life and wanted some security for a change.
Looks like you have plenty of that now.
Yes, now I'm Sam Telford, a respectable, successful businessman.
You've really done all right for yourself. A respectable businessman. Quite a surprise, Sam.
That's nothing. Wait till I get my hat. I've got a bigger surprise for you. You should have seen the look on Jack's face when he walked into my office.
My face? You should have seen what you looked like when you first saw me. Yes, it's just been one surprise after the other. This last one really floored me. You and Betty married.
That shouldn't have surprised you, Jack.
No, I guess not. You two have always been pretty close.
Well, Jack, all we've been doing is talking about us. How about you? What are your plans?
Oh, it's hard to say, yet.
You don't have to worry about money. You have your share of the job coming to you. That's $18,000.
Not bad. That'll get me a place to live.
Place to live? Of course you'll stay with us.
Does that sound all right to you, Sam?
Sure, sure. I wouldn't have it any other way.
With that $18,000, I can take my time looking for something to do.
If you're really on the level about wanting to go straight, there's plenty for you to do at the plant.
On the level? Sure. I told you I'm through with the old life.
Then it's all settled. You'll be working with Sam. How about some food now?
Good idea. Why don't you go and wash up, Jack? We'll talk things over while we're eating.
Sounds swell. I'll only be a minute.
Gee, darling, it's so wonderful to have the three of us together again.
Is it? Close the door.
Why? What's the matter, darling?
Can't you see? Jack's being here jeopardizes everything we've made of ourselves in the last 5 years.
But I thought you were glad to see him.
Glad to see him? The one man in the world who knows who we really are? And you have to ask him to stay with us?
But I don't understand. You even offered him a job at the plant.
I had to after you asked him to stay with us. If he's going to stick around, I want him where I can keep my eye on him all the time.
What are you afraid of? He said he was going straight.
Have you forgotten that I was the one who tipped off the police?
But he doesn't know that.
That's what I'm not sure of. He may have just found me, but maybe he came looking for me.
Those who have lived in the shadows of crime have one thing in common: uncertainty. Never can their minds be at ease. Once the shadow of doubt crosses the train of thought, uncertainty grows, develops, and becomes fear, an obsession overpowering all else. The shadow of doubt had crossed Sam's mind. The initial shock of seeing Jack was over, Now he was faced with uncertainty. If Jack had found him, others might too. How had Jack found him? At dinner, he tried to make his voice appear casual as he sought the answer.
I'm certainly glad you found me, Jack. By the way, how did you find me?
That's what's so funny about it. I wasn't even looking for you. When I got out, I came west looking for a job, for a new start.
Then you didn't know I was here. You just came looking for a job.
Sure. You certainly covered up your tracks. If I didn't know you so well, I'd almost think you didn't want me to find you.
Why? That's that silly.
Sure it is. You'd never double-cross a friend.
Uncertainty, that precarious feeling that gives each word new meaning. What was back of the statement, you'd never double-cross a friend? Did Jack know the truth, or were those words just casually spoken? Sam spent a restless night, but the clear light of morning reassured him. After all, Jack had said he was going straight, that he had accidentally found Sam while looking for a job. The shadow of doubt had almost completely disappeared the next day as he sat in his office talking to Jack.
Well, what do you think of the place?
You've got yourself quite a setup here. Yes, quite a setup.
I'll get my general manager in here. You can meet him and we'll discuss what you're going to do.
Sounds fine.
Yes, Mr. Tilford?
Tell Harris I'd like to see him right away.
Yes, Mr. Tilford.
What are you going to tell him?
Well, I've told everybody that I came from Albany, New York.
Good idea. We wouldn't want anyone checking around Detroit.
I've never been to Detroit, and neither have you. Don't let yourself slip on that score.
Don't worry about that, Sam. I was caught napping once. Never again.
Come in. Oh, Harris, I want you to meet an old friend of mine. Jack Carlton.
Oh, yes. I interviewed Mr. Carlton yesterday. He didn't mention being an old friend of yours.
I wanted to surprise him.
Yes, he certainly did surprise me when he walked into the office.
Has it been very long since you've seen each other?
Oh, it's been about 5 years since we've worked together.
Were you in the same business then, Mr. Telford?
No,
we handled hardware.
Then that was the business you were in back in Detroit.
Detroit. The gnawing fear returned.
Who said anything about Detroit?
On Mr. Carlton's application, he said he was from Detroit.
You must have forgotten the years you spent in Albany, Jack.
Yes, isn't it funny what a man can forget?
Uncertainty came rushing back. Had Jack forgotten that he had mentioned Detroit in his application? Or was this part of his scheme? Everything was turning into a nightmare of bewilderment. Sam briefly dismissed Harris and whirled on Jack.
I told you I never wanted our names mentioned in connection with Detroit. Why didn't you tell me you put Detroit on your application?
Don't get yourself so excited, Sam. I forgot. That's all.
But don't you realize what bringing up Detroit can mean?
Sure. I know what it can mean. Do you? But I just forgot that I put it on the application.
Forgot? You can't forget a thing like that.
Sam, you don't think I'd do a thing like that on purpose.
Was it imagination, or was it there again? That almost veiled sarcasm. It was all so nebulous. There was nothing definite he could put his finger on. In the week that followed, the shadows of doubt grew blacker and blacker. Because of the uncertainty, he never trusted Jack out of his sight. Soon, even this was denied.
Sam, I've been living with you and Betty long enough. I think it's about time I moved on.
You mean you want to leave town?
Leave town? Do you think I'm crazy? This is my home now. I'm settling down.
Well, what do you mean, move on?
I just meant get me a place of my own. Just saw a nice buy up in the mountains, about an hour and a half's drive from here.
That's silly. Those places are undeveloped. No electricity, nothing. Aren't you comfortable here?
Sure. It's swell here, but I want to get off by myself. I like this spot, and it's only
$35,000. $35,000? Have you got that kind of money?
Well, I only need 20. Figured I'd borrow it from you.
$20,000 is a lot of money.
won't even make a dent in your account. I know. I've been through your books.
You've been through my books?
Yes, I wanted to see how much you could pay.
What do you mean?
Can the innocent act? You pulled a pretty lousy double cross when you tipped off the cops in Detroit.
I didn't, Jack. Somebody must have recognized you.
Save it. I've had 5 years to sit and figure out what I was going to do when I caught up with you. Now you're going to pay, Sam. You'll pay plenty.
This, then, was it. The doubt in Sam's mind gave way to certainty, and with it came fear. Fear that the world he had built would come crashing down in ruins. Jack knew of the double cross, was going to blackmail him for the rest of his life. The demands came swiftly. $10,000 more to fix up the ranch, $5,000 for a string of horses, $2,000 for a car, one demand after the other until...
Well, I've got my place fixed up now. It's about time I went into business.
Business? What's the matter with this one?
This one's all right for you. You like electrical junk.
What do you want to do?
There's a swank nightclub I can buy out. That's my kind of business.
What do they want for it?
You're lucky. They're letting it go cheap. Only $30,000. Cash. Bring it out to the ranch tomorrow.
But Jack, I don't have that kind of money.
You're a liar. I know what you've got. Get this straight, Sam. This is only the beginning.
But I've already given you a fortune. How long can this go on?
As long as I'm around, Sam. As long as I'm around.
As long as Jack was around. The words rang through Sam's mind. There was only one way out. Get rid of Jack. Yes, that was his only salvation. Jack's demands would grow greater and greater until he was ruined. Even then, there was no assurance he would keep Sam's true identity a secret. Yes, his only safety lay in Jack's death. Murder it must be. But how? How should it be done? There must be no finger of suspicion pointed at him. The murder must appear to be an accident. He told Betty nothing of his decision, but all night he kept thinking of one thing. First, he must find a way to kill Jack Carl. He still had no plan as he drove out to Jack's ranch the next day with the money. He found Jack out in the barn, checking on his new generator.
I thought you'd see things my way. Got the money?
Here it is.
That's the stuff. You just do like I tell you and you've got no worries. All you got to worry about is making lots of money with your electrical stuff. Incidentally, the guy who installed it said your generator is pretty good. Got a lot of power.
It should have. It's our 10,000 watt model. Why do you need that much power for, just for your lights?
Because I like power. Besides, I'm going to be around for a long time. I'll be using it.
Well, I've got a long drive. I better be going back.
Yes, you go back to the plant and make lots of money for us. Hey, watch those loose wires. I don't want to lose you too soon. There's enough power there to kill a man.
Enough power to kill a man. Here was the answer. The generator would be Sam's murder weapon. Sam left the farm and raced home, his thoughts filled with his murder plan. Later, at home, Betty listened horrified as he unfolded his plan.
Don't you see? It's foolproof. It'll look like an accident.
But murder?
What else is there to do? Would you rather he went on bleeding us for every cent we've got, and when that's gone, exposing us?
No, but not murder.
There's no other way out. I've got to kill him. Come on, we're going back to the ranch. I'm going to take care of him tonight.
The ride back to the ranch was tense. Betty staring hopelessly ahead, Sam silent, thinking only of his plan, his foolproof murder plan. It was dark when they reached Jack's ranch. The lights were out. They were safe to go ahead. Quietly, they stole back to the barn. There, in front of them, was the generator.
Keep watching the house. I'm going to heat up the soldering iron.
What are you going to do?
It's a simple, foolproof thing. See those two wires coming out of the generator?
Yes.
The one on top is the hot line. It carries the current. I'm going to run a connecting wire from that hot line to the handle of the turn-on switch.
What will that do?
Before we leave, I'll turn off the generator. In the morning, Jack will find the light's not working and will come out to check it. The first thing he'll do is turn on the switch. The second he touches it, all the electricity will shoot through his body, enough to kill a man.
But they'll know the generator's been tampered with.
I've got that figured out, too. I'm going to use fast-action solder to make the contact. All that power rushing through Jack's body will create a lot of heat, enough heat so that the solder will melt. After that, the generator will be safe to use again. No one will be able to figure out how the accident happened.
Sam, I'm afraid.
There's nothing to worry about. I'll have this thing fixed in a few minutes. Then we'll go home and wait. We'll get a call tomorrow saying there's been a terrible accident out here. Jack will be dead.
O'clock and still no call. Maybe something went wrong.
Will you stop worrying?
I hope something is wrong. I hope it hasn't worked.
Shut up, you fool. Would you rather Jack ruined us?
I don't care. Anything is better than murder. I can't stand it. I'm going to call Jack and warn him.
Get away from that phone. Hello?
Is this Mr. Sam Telford?
Yes.
I'm Jack Carlton's neighbor. Can you come right out? There's been a terrible accident here.
What? What's happened?
Jack has been killed.
Sam's plan had worked. Jack was dead. They were safe. Safe from everything. The farmer said it was an accident. No suspicion of murder. It was dark when they arrived at the ranch. The farmer was standing outside.
Glad you got here. Mighty lonely here in the dark. Ain't none of the lights working.
The generator must be off. I'll turn it back on. Be right back.
Sam, be careful.
Don't worry. I know what I'm doing.
Sure is a terrible thing.
What happened?
It must have happened this morning. I found him just a few minutes before I called you. Called you folks because Jack always talked about Mr. Telford. Yes, I sure feel guilty about that accident.
What do you mean?
You see, I sold Jack that horse.
Horse? What are you talking about?
The accident. Jack was thrown from his horse. That's what killed him.
Thrown from his horse? Sam! Sam!
Such is the manner in which retribution paid its call into the life of Sam Cray. He rigged the generator to kill Jack Carlton the minute the switch was touched. Then Jack met his death due to another accident, and Sam, thinking the generator safe to use again, threw the switch and sent the fatal bolt through his own body. Strange are the forces of fate, certain the justice of destiny. All who yield to the voice of evil find, waiting in the end, retribution. Been listening to Accidents Happen, an episode from the old-time radio series Retribution. Our cast featured Tom Fitzpatrick as Sam Cray, Jan Hanley as Betty, and Aaron Hiles as Jack Carlton. Also in our cast you heard, in order of appearance, Alan Wayne, Bob Hutchison, John Heflin, Lurlin Lahr, Susie Hutchison, Stuart Talbert, and David Hiles. Music by Chad Rennie. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. I'm your announcer, John Greenway, thanking you for listening and inviting you to join us again next time for Retribution. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Chrysler. When you see it, you'll say,
ooh.
Chrysler. When you sit in it, you'll say,
oh.
Chrysler. When you drive it, you'll say,
ah.
Your neighborhood Chrysler dealer presents the Sammy Kaye Showroom.
Hello, everyone. Sammy Kaye. Thank you, and a great big welcome to Swing and Sway Time in your Chrysler showroom. Whatever songs you like to hear, we've got one for you. So lend an ear. Dashing three cadets tell you exactly what you will say when you see the beautiful new Chrysler.
You were meant for me. I was meant for you. Nature patterned you, and when she was done, you were all the sweet things rolled up in one. You're like a plaintive melody.
When the band first heard the song, A Chapter in My Life Called Mary, everyone wanted to sing the vocals. So when we made the Victor record, Don Cornell sang it with the entire K Choir.
There's a chapter in my life called Mary. It's the story of Mary and me. It tells with a in my life called Mary. there's heartache in each little line. It's not in a book where people may look. It's in Mary's heart and mine.
Both Don Cornell and the K Choir are together, not only in their singing, but in something else, too. They agree that the only man who should service your Chrysler-built car is your Chrysler Plymouth dealer. And Jay Jackson will explain why, won't you, Jay?
Check, Sammy. And that's because luck or guesswork has no part in your Chrysler Plymouth dealer's expert service. His service is based on skill and training, plus a sound knowledge of everything about your car. His mechanics use factory-approved methods, and should replacements be needed, he has factory-engineered Mopar parts on hand. And beyond that, he has a personal interest in making sure your Chrysler-built car gives you all the pleasure and performance built into it. So when you bring it in for a checkup or a real repair, you can count on the job being done right. Your Chrysler-built car deserves this careful, expert service designed especially for it. Always bring it to your Chrysler Plymouth dealer, the man who says, we aim to take care of our own, and means it.
If you could just see Laura Leslie, so sweet, so demure, you'd never think that she could ever mean the words of the song she's going to sing. And honestly, she really doesn't mean them.
If a custom tailored vet asks me out for something wet, when the vet begins to pet, I cry hooray. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. I've been asked to have a meal by a big tycoon and steal. If the meal includes a deal, accept I may. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. There's an oil man known as Tex, who is known to give me checks. But his checks, I fear me, the Tex is here to stay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. From Ohio, Mr. Thorne calls me up from night till morn. Mr. Thorne wants cornered corn, and that ain't hay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. From from Milwaukee, Mr. Fritz. Often dines me at the Ritz. Mr. Fritz invented slips, and slips must stay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my affection. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. Mr. Harris wrote a track, wants to give my teeth a pack. If the Harris hat means a Paris hat, baby. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my affection. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
Our selection of past hit tunes, our dusty manuscripts, we've chosen a song I first heard when I was a little kid back in Rocky River, Ohio. Good old Rocky River. The song, Somebody Loves Me, I Wonder Who. Wonderful old-time hit as Tony Alamo sings,
Just a gigolo everywhere I go. People know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Every night some heart betrays. There will come a day you will fade away. Then what will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. As life goes on without me.
It's time to close our showroom doors. But we'll be waiting for you when it's swing and sway time again. Until then, this is Sammy Kay saying so long for your local Chrysler Plymouth dealer.
Chrysler, Chrysler, Chrysler.
Between now and your next date with Sammy Kay and the Swing and Sway Company, how about dropping in to see your friendly Chrysler Plymouth dealer who makes these showroom parties possible? Let him prove to you that the new Chrysler is the smartest, safest, most comfortable car on the road today. This is Jay Jackson saying so long for your Chrysler Plymouth dealer and Sammy Kay. You'll say,
ooh,
Chrysler.
When you sit in it, you'll say,
ooh,
Chrysler.
When you drive it, you'll say,
ah.
Your neighborhood Chrysler dealer presents the Sammy Kay Showroom.
everyone. This is Sammy Kay. Thank you, and a great big welcome to Swing and Sway Time in our Chrysler showroom. Whatever your favorite tunes may be, we've got something specially for you. Just listen and see. And here are the Cadets 3.
Buster busting out of bushes, and the Roppin' River pushes every little wheel that wheels beside a mill. June is busting out all over, the feeling's getting so intense that the young Virginia creepers have been hugging the bejeepers out of all the morning glories on the fence. Because it's June, 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 June.
Remember a vacation at a lakeside or a seaside resort. Pretty girls and handsome fellows dancing together. Summer romances. That's the picture as Tony Alamo sings,
"It's summer time again, and grass is wet with dew. Stars are bright like they were that night when we both said, I love you. It's summer time again. When will I kiss?
Nice work, Tony. Nice work. And while I'm passing out bouquets, I think we should certainly hand one to your Chrysler Plymouth dealer. He's a great guy who really does a wonderful job of keeping your Chrysler-built car in perfect condition. That's a fact, isn't it, Jay?
It sure is, Sammy. And that's because your Chrysler Plymouth dealer takes a personal interest in the way your Chrysler looks and performs. Maybe you didn't buy it from him. That makes no difference. It's a Chrysler. And whether it's gone just a few thousand miles or 100,000, he aims to keep it in tip-top shape. He's ready with Chrysler Mopar parts and factory-trained mechanics. So whatever your car needs, from a tune-up to an overhaul, it'll get the kind of service it deserves. When your Chrysler should have attention, always bring it to your Chrysler Plymouth dealer. He lives up to that motto, "We aim to take care of our own."
The interiors of those new Chryslers come in some wonderful color combinations. But I never heard of this color. The three cadets sing.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. If I were king, dilly dilly, I'd need a queen. Who told me so, dilly dilly, who told me so? I told myself, dilly dilly, I told me so. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, if you answer yes, in a pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in the dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you'll answer yes, in a pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in the dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and
boys in the Swing and Sway Band come from colleges all over the country, but they think that this is just about everybody's favorite college song, as Don Cornell and the K Choir sing.
To the tables down at Maury's, to the place where Louis dwells, to the dear old Temple Bar, love so well. Sing the whipping pools assemble with their glasses raised on high, and the magic of their singing cast its spell. Yes, the magic of their singing, of the songs we love so well. Shall I wasting and Mavourneen and the rest?
To close this session in our Chrysler showroom. But we'll have many more dates together. Meanwhile, with a last look at that beautiful silver anniversary Chrysler, we close our doors till next time. Until then, this is Sammy Kay saying so long for your local Chrysler Plymouth dealer.
Want to see the summer styles that have all America looking wide-eyed, drop into your Chrysler Plymouth dealers and look over the beautiful new Chryslers. You'll want to make it your next car, and you'll be making a wise choice. This is Jay Jackson saying so long for Sammy Kay and your Chrysler Plymouth dealer.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by ART's website, www.americanradiotheater.org, and check out our podcasts. We put up a new podcast every month. And have a listen to the old-time radio shows presented on www.radioutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelson Old-Time Radio Room. Thursday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific and Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday show is just a little different. It's Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Hey, see you there!